I want to start by saying it is so good to see all of you here today, especially those who are members of the household of faith. You know, we share in an eternal hope, and that we will spend all eternity together. But also, to our visitors, we'd like to extend a special thanks because we want to tell you how you can share in this eternal reward and this hope of spending all eternity with God. So we're so glad you're here also. And if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to come and ask us concerning anything that we practice here, anything that we might say or do. We'll be glad to sit down with you and study the Word of God with you. So welcome, everybody. Our passage today comes from Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. The Hebrew writer says, "Therefore, we must give the earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away." Also verse 2, "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken to the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" Some of the most comprehensive work that I've seen in the Brotherhood on the topic of drifting was done by Brother David Riggs. And some years ago, Brother Copeland made that work available, and I was able to experience that lesson and reflect on some things, not only concerning others, but my own life. Because drifting from God, it can be an easy thing to do unless we take precautions not to drift away from God. And so in my own personal studies on the topic, I studied not only to present to other people, but also to keep Drew in check. You know, these are not y'all sermons. These are we sermons, you know, because Paul said, when I preach to others, he said, "I discipline my body daily, lest after I preach to others, I myself am rejected." 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. There is no one saved, always saved. So we have to stay in the faith and not drift away. In this work, Brother Riggs told a story that was presented by a man by the name of Billy Norris, and I wanted to read that particular story, and some of you may have heard of it. He said two young men were fishing above a low dam on a river near their hometown. As they were concentrating on catching fish, they were unaware that they had drifted until they were not far from the water flowing over the dam. When they realized their situation, the current near the dam had become too powerful for them to keep their boat from going over. Below the dam, the water was dashing with strong force over great boulders and through crevices in the rocks. Caught by the swirling waters under the rocks, they never came to surface. After days of relentless searching, the divers found one of the young men, and then two or three days later, the other. You see, so many times that happens to us as Christians. I mean, we're just coasting along there, and we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, and we're going to work and we're going to school, and we get caught up and we get so distracted that we don't realize that we've drifted from the Lord. It can happen. What I want to do today is I want to first talk about some important things about drifting. Then we're going to look at some important things concerning how we need to notice common signs of drifting. Sometimes we miss the sign. Sometimes they're there all the time. But we have become ignorant of Satan's devices, and we don't see them. And last but not least, we're going to look at how we might refrain from drifting. What are the solutions? What can we do to prevent such a thing from happening? The first point we want to make about drifting is that drifting takes no effort. Did you know that? Drifting doesn't take any effort. And so the trick sometimes, what happens is that when we're caught up there, we say things like, well, hey, you know, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't cheat on my husband. I don't cheat on my wife. I don't do this and I don't do that. And I don't go out and commit crimes and I don't go out to clubs and I don't do all those things. And that's great. We should never do those things. But oftentimes, we fail to do the things that we ought to be doing. Look at James, please, very quickly. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse number 17. In James chapter 4, James said, but now you boast. Let's start in verse 16. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting are evil. What even is evil? Some people were saying, well, I guess I'll go do this and go do that. He said, well, what is your life but a vapor? You really don't know what's going to happen. That's the background to that. But in verse 17, he said, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So though I might say, hey, I don't do this and I don't go out and do, you know, some people may say those kinds of things, but what am I doing? Am I evangelizing lost souls? No, recently many of us had the opportunity to sit with family members and friends over the holidays and whatnot. Did we talk about the Lord? I'm mindful of that song, You Never Mentioned Him to Me. You helped me not the light to see. You saw me day by day, and you knew I was astray. But yet you never mentioned him to me. I'm mindful of Matthew 25. I've talked about this before, but let's go over to Matthew chapter 25. This time I want to turn over there. And because I have so many points to make this morning from this important lesson, we won't read the entire lengthy chapter here, but what we will do is I'll build it up and we'll begin reading here in verse 24, Matthew 25. And many of us know the story. God gave one man five talents, and that man utilized and made good of those five talents and gained five more talents. He gave one man two talents, and he made good of those talents and gained two more talents. And he gave one man one talent. And that man took that talent, and he hid it and buried it. And then in verse 24, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited, my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Let me tell you something I observed one day in my own personal studies I never observed this before, but you notice Jesus really didn't say, God's not a hard man. He never really said, well, oh, God's not that stern. God's not going to do, God's not that tough about you doing what he tells you to do. He said, yeah, you knew that about me. You knew that I had expectations on you. You knew that, but you took it anyway and you buried it. But in verse 30, and here's a punchline, and he cast, and I don't mean a funny one either, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Folks, I don't see where the man was a notorious serial killer, child molester, burglar, thief, all these bad things we see in the world. He simply did nothing. He was just simply a lazy man who would not do those things that God calls us all to do. Preach the gospel. Visit the sick. Visit the widows and orphans in their trouble. And many other things that God requires of us. Are we doing those things? Because if we're not, we're drifting. It takes no effort to drift. Just simply do nothing. And we're drifting. Point number two, we never drift upstream or against the tide. Faithfulness to the Lord, it's like oaring upstream. It's like, have you ever seen a boat drift upstream? Look over at 2 Peter. Please look over at 2 Peter chapter 5. Peter tells us some important things that God requires, things that help us not to drift, things that help us to stay grounded in the faith. He tells us there's some things we're going to need to build. And he starts there in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. He said, but also for this very reason, I still hear the pages turning. I give you a moment there in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. He said, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. And if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Peter tells us the opposite of what the denominational world says. No, people, many people in the denominational world, they'll tell you, I'm fully insured. Better than all state, progressive, better than all that, I have grace insurance. I can hit whoever I want, do whatever I want, because I got coverage. Is that what God means? Is that what the scriptures mean, that we're saved by grace? Very quick, I know this is not our topic, but very quickly, go over the Romans chapter 6. Let's do away with that false lie and false teaching that's causing so many to be lost today. And we're going to tie it back into what we just talked about. Look in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we consent to continue in sin that grace may abound? Not only does he say no, he says certainly no. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. But many people have been bamboozled. They have been tricked into believing that I got it made. See, here's what happens a lot of times. People get baptized. That's a joyful day. People obey the gospel and they come out of that water. And some people, that's about all they do. They get on like a cruise ship. What usually happens on a cruise ship? You know, it's different than the vessel we're talking about. On a cruise ship, nothing's really required of you. You just kind of relax, sit on the deck. You know, people sit by the pool and swim. Then they go sleep in a, you know, room. And then they go down to get something to eat. And they may go to the bar, to the casinos. And you just kind of don't do anything. And some people think of Christianity that way. But I'm mindful of what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 when he said, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, let me tell you something. I'm really not growing, am I? If I'm just, you know, I mean, they may work for plants. You know, they get a little water and a little sun. But they even need those things to grow, right? But as Christians, we're going to have to be adding some things. We're going to have to be roaring upstream and adding to our faith virtue and to our virtue knowledge and not, you know, and not discontinue the rowing. But so many times people discontinue the rowing. Here's one common error that a lot of people make. I made it myself in time past. We get into the I'll get to it one day syndrome. You know, I got plans on growing in the grace and knowledge. I got plans on being a better Christian. I'll get to it one day. I'm just busy right now. And guess what? Tomorrow never comes. It never comes for a lot of people. I'll get to it tomorrow. Christianity is something, make no mistake, folks, anything in this world that's worth having, you have to work for it, don't you? You don't just get a college degree by just not going to school. You don't just get a high school. You don't wake up one day and, poof, I got a high school diploma. You know, how that happened? It just, you know, every, you know, oh, I got a job. I got, you know, how that went? You know, we really got to put forth effort toward anything. You know, I was mindful recently of some, you know, I don't like the word resolution, but you know what I'm saying? Some things, well, okay, well, you know, I'm going to, not in the way a lot of people, but you know what I mean. One of those things is I want to do better with my health and with my eating. You know, I was thinking one day, you know, it'd be nice just to wake up one day and have some muscles. And, well, how'd that happen? They just plopped on me. I was just sleeping. Man, I woke up looking like Popeye, you know. It don't quite work that way, folks. Or I want to have good health, but I don't want to give up the greasy foods, you know. I mean, I want to have better this, but I don't really want to put forth the effort. And some people believe that. I see no lying commercials, you know. People come out, well, just take this and sleep, and it'll come off while you're sleeping. It tones while you're sleeping. Those kinds of things. Hopefully we're not believing those lies because those things are not true. In other words, but let me say this, though. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul said, bodily exercise profit little. He said, exercise yourself towards some what? Some godliness. That's really the muscles we need to be flexing, the spiritual muscles. But folks, they don't come just naturally. It takes effort to be a great Christian. You don't just wake up one day and you're a great Christian. How did that happen? It takes work every day. It takes studying. It takes rowing. It takes adding. It takes practicing those things, folks, not just saying those things. Another quick point here is the speed downstream, it increases. You know, once we get downstream, it's kind of real hard to kind of row yourself back, you know. So many times we fail to practice prevention over intervention. How do I know what's happening tomorrow? Well, it has a lot to do with my choices today. Sometimes people and young people, please hear me on this, especially young people that are away in college contemplating marriage and things like that. Please hear me, hear the word of God on these things. Find a faithful Christian. Because some people say, oh, I love him or I love her. And you know, I just, you know, but down the line, you end up and it's like, you know, you got somebody who don't care about God. And then when you wake up one day, and trust me, you will wake up. You know, the smoke will clear one day. And then we realize, you know, I should have thought about this. One point that Brother Riggs makes, he said, you know, when you hear the roaring of the downfall, the waterfall is often too late. A lot of times people wait until they put in the handcuffs and reading them in their rights to understand, uh-oh. But at what point was I supposed to be getting ready? Well, that's today. Don't put it off. We need to be following what God says in the now. The next point about drifting here is it's dangerous for other people. Sometimes we don't realize there's other people in the boat. It's not just me. It's my wife in there. It's not just me. For some of you, it's my children in there. It's our nieces and nephews. It's other people. It's young Christians. And I'm not just talking about younger people. It's new converts that are watching what I do. And when I'm drifting, I can cause other people to drift. So many times, parents are just drifting in the sense that they just kind of do what they want to do in front of the children. And let me tell you something, folks, that do as I say, not as I do, that don't work for Christians. Amen. That don't work for us. No, we can't say, anybody remember that commercial years ago? I think it was the 70s or maybe early 80s. There was a commercial about a man whose son found some pot. He found some pot in his son's room, marijuana, and he was yelling at his son about, you know, where did you get this from? Where did you learn? And the boy burst out, I learned it from you, Dad. I watched you do it. And sometimes it may not be that we're exactly practicing those things. It may be that I'm allowing my child or my niece and nephew to go hang out with people who do. I've seen people who say, well, you know, I don't know what my kids do, but I trust them. I trust what they're doing and all of that. But you know when your child comes home and you don't know your child's friends or who they're hanging out with. All I know is their name is Bobo, Pee Wee, Skeeter, and Bang Bang. Those names enough. To me, is enough to make me check out who they're hanging out with. But that's a part of drifting. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, let us not be tossed to and fro like children with every wind of doctrine. We need to be an example to the children. I remember years ago there was a preacher who told the story about a young woman at a local congregation who wanted desperately for her husband to obey the gospel. And she would bring her husband there and she would kind of get on him, you know, and tell the preacher, you know, he just won't obey. And the husband would sit there and he'd listen. And one day the husband blurted out something. The preacher said his mouth dropped open. The woman's mouth dropped open. He said, the guy said, well, the reason why I don't really want to hear all this is because, you know, she parties. She goes out with a friend. She drinks like a fish. She cusses all the time. I mean, you know, when we're trying to influence people, we need to keep something in mind. People are watching us. And when I start to drift and I make shipwreck my faith, I better be careful because I can cause other people to drift. Paul talked about Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. He said that they had made shipwreck their faith. I wonder if they had children. I wonder if there were other members who were watching what they were doing. One other point that Brother Riggs brought out that I like this idea. He said, also keep in mind when you're drifting, when my ship is drifting, it's a danger to other ships. You know, if I'm not steering, I'm watching what I'm doing, then my ship can run into somebody else's vessel. I need to be careful. What are some common signs, very quickly? Some common signs of drifting. First of all, one common sign of drifting is a diminishing desire to study God's word. Look over at Psalms chapter 1, please. Take time to look over there at Psalms chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1 there. Psalms chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. The psalmist say, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Do I have a desire to be in God's word day and night? Because if that desire is diminishing, that's a common sign of drifting. How about a decreased interest in praying? Do I pray? Mark chapter 1, verse 35 teaches that Jesus was a praying man. Do I pray? Luke 18, 1, Jesus said, men ought to always pray and not lose heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul said, we ought to pray without ceasing. Do I have a diminished desire? A diminished desire to pray to God. How about a diminished desire to be with God's people? The psalmist says in Psalms 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they say, let's go into the house of the Lord. He said, I was glad to go. I don't know about you, but I get a different feeling when I drive up in this parking lot than I do at the one at work. You know, sometimes, and it's not, and I'm old, I love to work, don't get me wrong. But I sit out in my car sometime before I go in, man, and one day it dawned on me why. All that cussing, all that ungodliness all day I got to be around. Oh, man, don't you know we ought to look forward to coming to church? We ought to look forward to seeing the brethren. And the thing of the matter is, what we got to understand, folks, is if that's a problem today, guess what? These are the same people we're supposed to spend eternity with. And if there's a burden to us now, do I have a diminished desire to be around God's people? Do I have an increasing thrill, here's the next point, over things of the world? Sometimes, you know, we get real excited about things going on in the world. Sometimes people can't wait to get around their ungodly friends. Sometimes people can't wait to get involved with things of the world and have an increased desire for the thrills of the world. Seen cases where brethren have missed church to watch a Super Bowl game. Folks, that's misplaced priorities. Do we have more of a thrill? Do we have more of a thrill on who won on American Idol than we do on who got baptized? So many times people have such an increasing thrill even concerning their children. You know, my son got into the basketball team. You know, my daughter got, you know, that kind of thing. Do we ever praise our children and grandchildren for the righteous things they do? Son, I'm glad you go to church. Grandson, I'm so glad you're here. Or to our grandchildren, I'm so glad you're here in church studying your Bible. I'm proud of you. Do we show, you know, thrills over those kinds of things? Or is it just the things of the world that we have an increasing thrill? Very quickly here, let me talk about the remedies against drifting. We've already talked about some of them. I won't rehash them. I talked about the importance that the Bible teaches about adding. You know, we got to keep rowing, folks. We got to keep rowing. We can't ever. I know sometimes your arms get tired, and we're like, oh, I'm so tired of just doing. But I love the way Paul put it. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, he said, let us not weary in good doing, for in time we'll reap, you know. And sometimes it's just a burden, you know. But we need to keep on and keep on keeping on. Watch out for undercurrents or signs of drifting. Look out for the signs. When you see it happening, like if you admit to yourself today, man, I do kind of have a decreased desire to study God. You know, I do. Those kinds of things, let's those undercurrents that caught those two young men, we need to be outside looking outside. Oh, there's a shark. Oh, there's an undercurrent. You know, we need to be watchful and not be caught by surprise. I love the way Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. He makes a good point. And let's go over and read that. Let's go over and read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. And I'll tell you why in a moment, why I think it's so important for you to take this passage and write it down and post it in the car, put it on the refrigerator, put it when you're in the mirror getting ready for work every day. Put this passage up all over the house. He said, therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. I've seen a lot of brethren fall with the attitude, oh, ain't nothing going to happen to me. Oh, I'm okay. I'm not going to be tempted. I'm too strong for that. Do you really feel that way? Anytime we feel we don't need the Lord or his word, or we don't need to keep every day, oh, I got this on my own. That's what I call a SSU. That's a Satan setup. That's a Satan setup. When I get to the point where I feel like, well, I got it made. I don't need to watch out for nothing. That's a trick of the adversary of God. Number C here under the remedies, letter C, expect to go against the tides. You know, there are many tides to sweep us away. There's popularity. There's peer pressure. There's the praise of others that we might desire. There's modernism. There's skepticism. There's humanism. There's denominationalism. There's liberalism and all kinds of isms on the horizon. We need to get ready and be ready sometime when you're there in your vessel. You got to get ready sometime to go against the tides, because those times will come. I watched a few weeks ago some elders give a charge to some young men that they were sending out to preach the gospel. They trained them there at a local congregation, and they were sending them out. And one of the elders said, which I thought was very profound. He said, young men, I'm going to tell you something. He said, look out for the three G's. Stay away from the glory. That belongs to God. Stay away from the gold. Don't ever be for sale. Preach the gospel because you love the truth. Don't ever sell buy the truth and sell it not. And number three, watch out for the girls. And here's the sense, if it's not your wife, don't mess with her. That applies to so many other of us, if it's not your husband. Now, why would I bring those things up? Because sometimes part of drifting is that we kind of get caught up in the glory. It's all about me. And in our society today, people would tell you, you deserve it. We live in a society of entitled people. Our young people don't feel like they have to work anymore. You know, they're entitled. I deserve this. That's the glory. The love of money causes people to drift. Sometimes people will offer you money, but they'll say, hey, here's the deal. I need you to work every Sunday and every Wednesday. Sometimes we need to back up off the money. Now, every once in a while, I too have to travel sometime for my job. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who have made a decision never to go back to the Lord because they're trying to get paid. And sometimes those little subtle things with the lust thing, with somebody's flirting, a little innocent flirting, there's no such thing as that. Sometimes we got to put people in check. I appreciate if you wouldn't talk that way to me. I have a husband. Or I'm married. I don't want to deal with this. Because sometimes when we let those things go, that's a sign of drifting when we overlook little things like that. Those things are signs of drifting. My last point, and then I'm done today. Go over to James chapter 4. Go over to James chapter 4, and we'll end with this. Beginning in verses 7 and 8. James says here, he said, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here's our punchline verse. He says, draw near to God, and he might draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, here's my point, and I'll close with this. Folks, it's difficult to drift and draw at the same time. I can't be drifting and drawing to God simultaneously. So I'm either drifting or I'm drawing near to God. What are you doing? What am I doing? Are we drifting? Are we drawing nearer to God? You know, if you're not a Christian, you know, it's kind of hard to drift from something, someone you've never been with in the first place. Not that we ever want anyone to drift. But the thing of the matter is, first of all, you got to get with the Lord. Then apply this lesson, you know, to your life. Don't drift from God. You might say, how can I get in a right relationship with God? How can I get my life right and be saved today? The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ. You must repent of past sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You must turn away from the things of the world. Confess Christ with your mouth to be the Son of God. And be baptized into Christ's body. You know, if the Bible stopped there, so would I. Revelation 2:10 makes abundantly clear that we are to remain faithful until our dying day. Will you do it? Perhaps you've already become a member of the church, but you found yourself drifting. Let's make that right. Let's turn around and recognize an important fact, and that is we must be anchored in the truth. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. But rather, we must be rooted and grounded in Christ. I'm sorry. But anchored there. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 through 19 talks about that. Importance of that. Is Christ, are we anchored? Anchored, let's get anchored in Christ. How do I do that? Well, you know what you need to do. Repent of your past sins. Confess those sins and come back to the Lord. And let's stop drifting. And let's get on that eternal course where Jesus is the captain of our vessel and the captain of our salvation. Whatever your need may be, please make it known as we stand and sing the song of invitation.